time to thrive. Welcome to the Thriveology Podcast with Dr. Lee Bockham. Join us as we explore ways that you can thrive in your life, regardless of what life throws at you. It's your life. Time to live it.
Hey, this is Lee Bockham. Welcome to the Thriveology Podcast. This is the podcast designed to help you thrive in your life, no matter what life throws your way. We're always surprised when life throws us those curveballs, but my belief is that we can learn to thrive no matter what's going on, no matter where we are. We can find a place of thriving in our life and build that out. This is the podcast that's designed to give you the skills, the mindset, and the understanding in order to make your life and my life a thriving life. Now, I include myself in there because while I consider myself to be a full-time thriveologist, meaning I'm constantly studying how to thrive and how to have a bigger, better life, I'm only a part-time thriver. That means that there are always ways that I can learn to thrive better in my own life. So I'm always capable of understanding how people can thrive better. But my real task is learning to apply that in my own life. And today, I want to talk some about where we focus, how we focus our attention, because I truly believe that you feel your focus. Wherever your mind is focusing, wherever you're choosing to be, you feel your focus. If you're focusing on what is wrong around you or what is wrong with you, you're going to feel that. You're going to feel fear. And there are lots of ways we can get sucked into that. If we look around, we can see a whole industry around the idea of what's wrong with you. And when we look around at the whole world, we can see lots of places where there is what's wrong, what's falling apart. And so sometimes that gets our focus. And when that gets our focus, we're going to feel fear. If you focus on the good, though, in yourself and in others, you're likely to feel joy. And if you focus on what could be, the possibilities in your life, you're going to feel aspiration of wanting to move to that new place, an inspiration where there's a spirit within you that's building and the possibilities are coming your way. Now, let's talk about some reasons why that's the case, why you feel your focus. The big piece is there's this little part in your brain that is always scanning around you for threats. And it's a part of your brain that is so old that it doesn't even understand language. It just understands the focus of your mind. We call this the RAS, the reticular activation system. Reticular meaning it's based in partly your vision. You're looking, you're scanning the environment. You're also listening. It's a very primitive part of your brain. It's tied closely to your eyeballs and to your eardrums. And it's tied tightly because those are the places where you're going to first sense danger. Something you see, a flash out there on the savanna, or something you hear, a rustling in the bush on the savanna, would have alerted you to the fact that there was some danger in your way. And since at that point, every threat was an acute threat, we began to have this overly sensitized place where it's always looking for threat, always scanning the environment for threat. Now we live in an environment that's very different than that, but our brain is still captivated by fear. If you notice, you'll see that that's constantly what's around us. What's on the news? Well, the old phrase is, if it bleeds, it leads, because what was catching the eyeballs was those places of fear, those places of danger. You see, we've bought into this idea that the networks are trying to help us out by showing us the news, rather than recognizing that the networks really only have one need, and that's for eyeballs. To have eyeballs on the screen to watch the ads that pay for that network. And so while we are constantly believing that those news sources are bringing us important stuff, what those news sources are really doing is activating that fear place and really trying to drive home the fact that we're in a risky world. And unfortunately, when we put that into our system, when we're scanning for that, we are easily engulfed by that. Fear is easily triggering our brain. And the reason that news focuses on that is because it locks down our eyeballs. We begin to get focused on that fear point. And when that happens, we have what I call an amygdala hijack. The amygdala is the part of your brain that is really about those threats. It's constantly trying to process what around you could be a threat. And the amygdala gets lit up when there's something happening that it senses is as a threat. It's trying to get your attention. So when that happens, the amygdala hijacks you and you're on alert. You're scanning around and hypervigilant. And when you start doing that, you're going to feel the fear. You're going to have that sense of impending doom and danger because that's what you're looking for. You don't notice that any really news programs that are based on good news. I mean, my wife and I were talking about this over the weekend, that there are a couple of shows that are on TV in the weekends that are really are kind of good, feel good, inspirational news stories. But for the most part, the news is based on what happened somewhere. Now, I've had this discussion with my father because years ago, I decided to put myself on a news fast, that I wasn't going to watch network television anymore, and I wasn't going to watch read the newspaper because I said, you know, these things are bound to catch us on our fears, are trying to pump us full of these fears and fool us into thinking that it's really telling us about the news. And I remember my father's initial reaction was, well, how are you going to keep up on the world? And my response was, I don't really feel like I'm keeping up on the world because if I turn on the news, it's going to tell me about a war somewhere and a fire somewhere and somewhere that people got killed and somewhere that there's dangers and threats and how our economy is on the brink of several problems. And all it's telling me are those same stories every single day. You change the circumstances, you change the location, but generally that's what they're covering. And so we're constantly pulled into a fear focus. It's not really telling us about the news. It's telling us about a fraction of the news. And the fraction that it chooses to cover is the negative news. And that's true for all of us. You know, when we start getting captivated by marketing or other pieces, often it's a fear-based marketing, that you're not going to have the people you want around you if you don't smell right, that you're not going to have the respect of people if you don't drive the right car, that you're not going to have, in other words, you're going to lose out on something when you don't have it. Great skill of marketing is to activate that fear place that you're going to lose out unless you have this. We all fall victim to it, and we all know that that's the part that captivates us, and yet it still does. You know, sometimes you're wondering why you're sucked in by those things. Well, it's because that primitive part of your brain is saying, there's a threat here. I've got to pay attention. I've got to be sure that I understand the threat that's coming my way, even if that threat is on the other side of the world, because our brain is not real good at calculating the true risk. That part of the brain is not good at analysis of the details. And that part of the brain is not really good at assessing the risk because it's only trying to get you out of the way of fear and of danger. And if you'll notice, it's always better in terms of survival to overreact to those fearful things. It's not so good for our day-to-day life. So now that we're in a world that is more based in chronic stress, not acute threat, we have to find some ways of making sure that amygdala is not overly activated. So what do we do? Well, I've got about five things that I think you can easily do to change that frame so that you're feeling your focus, but your focus is not on the fear pieces. Number one, monitor your intake. Look at what you're looking at. The how, what, and when of when you're doing those things. So how are you taking it in? For instance, while I don't watch network news, I do get news. One way I do that is by listening to, for instance, public radio so that I'm hearing the stories, but I'm not having to see the pictures. Remember, that part of the brain is activated most readily by vision. And so it's immediately when we're watching those news stories flashing across, it brings us in. Now, our brain has, that part of the brain has little way of understanding the difference between a picture of something and the reality of it. That's why we go to the action movies and the horror movies, because our brain takes it in as something that's scary and it activates our body. And so we get that excitement, and there's a part of our brain that understands we're safe, but there's another part of our brain that thinks that we're under threat, and we get all of that charge of excitement through watching those movies, even though we can tell ourselves consciously that this is just a movie, that primitive part of the brain is still responding as if it's happening to us. So monitoring how you take in that information. If you're constantly surrounding yourself, you know, if you're somebody who has CNN, which is chronically negative news, in my opinion, if you're a person that has that on all the time, recognize that that's constantly coming in your body. If you're eating dinner and watching that negative news, notice that you're bringing in that negative news while your body is trying to take in nutrients and while your body is trying to calm down. what you're taking in is important. There are different ways you can bring in that news in smaller doses. You might want to read the stories through, for instance, a Google reader or some other RSS reader that brings in the information to you that you want to know about, not all the information they want you to see. Now, another important piece of this is when you do that. You know, if this is a part of your frame, like first thing in the morning, you know, you get out of bed, turn on the news, and you get all those stories, recognize how that's charging your body with adrenaline through the day. If you're doing that at mealtime, recognize how that's competing with your need to get in good nutrients into your body and digest it. If you're doing it right before bed, you know, the 11 o'clock news is probably the place I see the most detriment, where as you're trying to wind your day down, you're getting all these flashes about the threats that aren't really imminent threats to you, but feel that way because your body's taking them in. So monitor your intake. Decide how and what and when you're going to take that information in. Number two, notice your focus. What gets caught? What are you focusing on? What kind of books are you reading? What kind of media are you listening to? What kind of conversations do you engage in? And notice how your focus gets pulled in, because most people have kind of this place where they naturally are pulled in. Some people are naturally pulled into these patterns and they need to be aware of what's pulling you in. So look at what grabs you. Number three is really a great action step of starting your day with gratitude and ending your day with gratitude. One of the most researched pieces of positive psychology, the looking at how people can do better to have a great life, is the what happens with gratitude. Gratitude just means looking around and saying, what am I grateful for today? What am I thankful for today? And posing that as a daily question. An easy way of doing it is to look for three things for which you're grateful. You can do it either in the morning or the evening, and then you turn around and focus on that in the evening or the morning. So if you're doing it in the morning, you would get up and write down three simple things that you're grateful for. You don't have to have grand things. It could be small. I'm grateful for that warm cup of coffee on a cool day. I'm grateful for the sun peeking over the horizon. I'm grateful for the leaves beginning to bud on the trees. All of those things are things you can be grateful for. And then at the end of the day, you reflect on those and just become aware of your gratitude for those pieces. You can reverse it. If you find that in the morning it's really hard to get that into your routine, then before you go to bed, write down in your day thinking about the three things for which you're grateful for that day. And then in the morning, reflect again on those. Just read through them and become aware of that. That creates different neuronal patterns in your brain, and it also gives you a new place of focus. The neuronal patterns begin to look for the things to be thankful for. Your focus begins to focus on what's going right, of what's good, of what is outstanding in your life, and you begin to shift away from the chronic negative to the positive. The positive surrounds us. It's just that our fear-based brain sometimes stops noticing it. So start your day with gratitude and end the day with gratitude. Number four is take in good stuff. Find inspirational books. Find inspirational magazines. Make sure that you've got those pieces in place. There are great magazines and websites and stories. I mean, Chicken Soup for the Soul, great book series because it's inspirational. It brings good stories into your life. Make sure you're taking advantage of that. If there's a movie out there that's inspirational, for instance, Unbroken came out over the holidays. What an inspirational movie. Sure, there's excitement moments in there, but the overall theme of that movie is overcoming difficulty. So taking those things in and finding some place of bringing that good stuff in means that you're not only are you taking in some of the negative that's just going to surround you anyway, but you're making sure it's balanced, a much more balanced diet, meaning much more of the good stuff than the bad. And then number five, do good stuff. Recognize that a lot of our focus, when it's not on meaning and purpose and building meaning and purpose in our life, is going to be about deficit and lack. That's just how our brain operates. So if we begin to work on building our meaning and our purpose in life, we begin to naturally focus on the good and the amazing in our life, and we begin to build a life that we love to live. So you can volunteer. Look for places where you can plug in and provide and give back. You can also look for vocation. What's your calling, even in where what you're doing now? Now, years ago, I had a real estate person come to me, and he was just so burned out, made lots of money in real estate, and he was so burned out. And it took us about 3 weeks to get to his core reason for being a real estate agent, and that was to find people a home. So suddenly, he wasn't just about selling a house. He was about helping people find a home. Now, there are other people that realize that they have to find that calling, the vocation, that vocatio is the calling and the vocation that will feed their soul. But when they find that, they begin to realize they've plugged in. So do good stuff. Okay, recognize that the networks and all around you are designed to capture your fear, to hijack your amygdala, to put you on alert, and then recognize that there are some antidotes. Those antidotes, again, are to monitor your intake. Look at how, what, and when you're taking that information in. Notice your focus. Number two, notice your focus. What catches you? Is that where you want to spend your focus? Number three, start your day with gratitude and end the day with gratitude. Number four, take in good stuff. Make sure you're surrounding yourself with upbeat music, with positive music, positive books, positive stories, positive magazines, different ways you can bring in positive stuff into your life. And number five, do good stuff. Build a life of meaning and purpose. That's going to shut out those fear things and take you to more aspirational things, and then focus on how your work is your calling. This is Lee Balcom wishing you the best for a thriving life.
Listening to the Thriveology Podcast. Thank you for listening. If you want more information, visit us at Thriveology.com or at ThriveologyMagazine.com. Remember that Thriveology is spelled T-H-R-I-V-E-O-L-O-G-Y. It's your life. Time to live it.